This is Corolla Digital.
Valvoline, 140 years under the hood. Thanks to you, the Adam Carolla Show has been going strong for 5 years and continues to grow because you share it with your friends, family, and coworkers. But now, the patent troll is suing me and threatening to shut down podcasting as we know it. Please visit fundanything.com/patent troll and donate to the Podcast Legal Defense Fund today. Your donation will help defeat the patent troll and keep podcasting free. Thank you, and mahalo.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Ice Cube, with Allison Rosen on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Health Watch with Dr. Spaz. And now, with apologies for the redundant Dr. Bruce / Ice Cube booking, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the show. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for spreading the good news. Dr. Spaz is joining us today. Dr. Bruce, good to see you, my friend.
Great to be here. Great, as usual.
Great to have you here, Dr. Spaz. Allison Rosen, of course.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
I recently was on the receiving end of an aggressive rectal exam.
At APCL, wanted that throwback drop with the hashtag top drop on Twitter.
News just came in today, which is Pasadena PD, who shot that kid, I don't know, 7-8 times, teenager, I don't know how old he was. So that story was about a year ago, and I said, they had to give the family $1 million. Doesn't seem like much. Feels like they're handing out $1 million. I wish the patent trolls, I wish I'd shot the patent trolls instead of just use their technology, as they claim, because they went a little more than $1 million. But it's like they shot and killed the kid, and they got 800, and I think the dad got 850 grand, and the mom got 150. Like, I don't even know how you break that down, but either way. So he said, it's a story that I talked about, happened in 2012. Somebody got, now everyone keeps saying now the backpack got stolen. During the time, it was the computer got stolen. But some guy got his computer jacked. And maybe it was the computer inside the backpack, and that's why they're just saying backpack.
I always heard laptop, if it's the story I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it was always laptop. Now they're saying backpack because it's a better story. But, you know, for a $15 backpack, they shot, you know, well, there could have been $2,200 worth of computer in it. But Either way, the guy is being prosecuted, the guy who called in the crime, because he said the guy had a gun, took my backpack and my computer, and he's being sentenced for making a false report because the cops who rolled up on the guy shot the guy. Now,
because the guy did not have a gun, and he said that he had a gun to get the cops to react quicker, right?
Well, no, because it's react the fuck at all. It's not quicker. The cops won't do shit. If you called
to get their
attention. Yes, if you called the cops and said, somebody stole my backpack and my computer was in it, they'd go, good luck to you. No. Oh, you know what? We can put you on with one of our representatives and they'll tell you where the Mac store is from here. Or are you a PC or Mac guy? Because we can direct you to the closest big box outlet store. I mean, honestly, for fun, if it wasn't illegal, I would call the Los Angeles PD right now and say, somebody just stole my laptop, and listen to their answer, which would be somewhere between go fuck yourself and good luck to you, or
please try your call again later.
We'll write it down, but we're not going to physically go roll on it. Like, we're not going to do anything about it. That's their fucking attitude. Now, by the way, they're short on manpower. They're camped out by the four-way stop sign riding Dillinger, public enemy number one, a.k.a. Chris Maxaloxa over there.
It's a new one.
Yeah. Chris Maxipat over there.
He's like public enemy one half.
He's getting a ticket for rolling through the four-way. There's plenty of cops to sit over there. And it's not like that guy's on his way back from a raiding a safe house. He's fucking parked there handing out chicken shit tickets all day. Dr. Drew, when I was talking to him earlier, said his office is over on like Hawthorne Boulevard in Pasadena. He said they set up a whole sting where they just set up by the crosswalk. And when people cross, they actually had a cop as the pedestrian that crosses. If you turn right on a red before the guy gets, forget about clears your bumper, gets to the other side of the street right. and up on the curb, if you turn right before that person.
I didn't even know that was the law.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I used to teach traffic school. This person must not only be past your car and past your two lanes, they have to get past the other two lanes, which are going the other direction, and have both feet on the sidewalk, and then you may turn right. Even if the person's ass is 60 feet from your bumper. So they set up a fucking sting for that.
Well, it's revenue generation. You don't make any money investigating nonviolent crime.
All right. But we, as the taxpayers, when we get property stolen from us, I'm very old-fashioned this way. I would like to be able to call the cops when property is being been stolen, and then you go try to find said property. Now, they had no trouble finding this guy because the guy said he had a gun. The guy who was delivering the reports actually smart. He wanted his fucking computer back. So he said, the guy pulled a gun on me, and in which case they went, oh, okay, I guess we'll now go look for this guy. And sure enough, they did what they would have never done if he just said it was a backpack. The guy pulled it out of my hands and started running.
Found him and killed him.
Well, this is, by the way, incompetence times two. First is they would have never looked for him if the guy didn't say they had a gun. And then number two, they fucking just get there and shoot people. That's all they do. And then we're lucky because it's only $1 million. That's this thing could have been $5, $8, $12 million, you know? We got a dead teenager here. I don't know how old the kid was. I don't know anything about the story. I'm not sure why they broke it down with dad and mom, $850 to you and $150 to you.
They may not have been together.
I'm going to go with that.
I think it had to do with who loved him more.
The kid was 19. He was black, and I don't know why this one wasn't, didn't get under Jesse Jackson's skin or anything. I don't know why, how. It's kind of random.
Nancy Grace didn't run with it?
She didn't pick this up and run with it, but
maybe
either way.
Because he actually was a thief.
Yeah, but that doesn't, when the cops, I mean, Rodney King was a thief, and the cops did a number on him, and that was enough. Like, most of the time, unless it's the Asian broads delivering the newspapers at 5 in the morning, most of the time, they are something. It's just they don't deserve to be treated that way. It's more like you can't be judge, jury, and executioner. That's usually the argument with this stuff. But I don't know what happened to this one. I don't know if he threatened them. I don't know what happened. But either way, this guy's dead, and I'm sure of it. I'm sure he's dead because this guy probably got something else stolen from him at some point, called the Pasadena PD up, and they went,
I just heard enough stories.
Yeah, you're on your own. You're on your own. And I know it. My wife has called the LAPD and said, come to my house. A drunk driver's running a wall, and they went, go check on him. Now, if she wanted them to come to the house, her only shot of getting the LAPD to come to the fucking house wouldn't be paying a shitload in taxes, wouldn't be a mom home alone with twins while daddy's on the road. It wouldn't have been a drunk driver. It would have been he's got a gun, in which case they would have rolled. She would have been prosecuted right. for it, but at least the cops would have come out to the house instead of this guy calling an OnStar representative, getting somebody to pick him up, my wife watching him chuck his empty scotch bottles into the bushes, and then be driven home. All right.
This outcome wasn't, if that's all true, this outcome is inevitable. It's like flopping in soccer. It's like you want that penalty to be called. You want that penalty kick. You got to go over the top and make the whole, like you have to pretend something is happening that's really not happening. You have to pretend like there's some egregious thing going on so the referees will call it. You have to essentially pretend there's some wildly more crime going on than happening to get someone to respond.
If you think about it, it's going to happen more often because if you're a kid and you have a Mac laptop and that's basically your most valuable possession and some guy snatches it and just starts running off down the alley, that thing's gone. And if you want it back, the only way to do it is to tell the cops the guy pulled a knife or a gun or something, he's dangerous, and then they'll go get it for you.
But, I mean, in terms of the incompetence, it shouldn't be as easy as making up one lie. Like, it shouldn't be so easy to just get someone killed. Like, cops should have – I know you talk about a switch being flipped, but they should have more than one setting. They're not weapons. They're human beings. They should be able to be nimble and assess a situation.
They should have a dimmer switch. Is what they should have, not on and off.
Or at least like one of those chains on a fan.
I called them and said that Brian pulled a gun, could I get him killed that way?
Yeah.
If Brian walked out, they rolled up, and Brian, it's always a move where the guy reaches for his waistband or goes for something. There's always something. I mean, it's really, it's just hands out, Jesus on the cross, face down. That's the whole thing. I don't know. They claim he reached for his waistband. You know what I'm saying? It's like
it's hard to know what's really true.
The fuck? Look. If you're walking naked with your hands out as far as they possibly can reach from your body, you probably lessen your chances for getting shot. But if you start taking your jacket off or reaching for your car keys, then you're getting shot. So when somebody thinks somebody has a gun, then all movement is dangerous. Right?
Yes.
And that's the problem. On the other hand, the cops got to do a little better job on that. On the other hand, if they did a better job, for instance, of just going after stolen goods for the people that pay their taxes, then we wouldn't have these opportunities. See, this guy is dead because the cops don't do their job, and the person who called it in knew that. And now the person's in trouble, the other guy's dead, and everyone is pretty much fucked except for the cops, who once again landed
great
on
job,
their feet.
Great job, everyone.
Yes. All right. Hey, Bruce.
Yeah.
The microphone you talk into. Probably had, I don't know, 128 conversations
about
that.
I've been here for a while,
right,
so I've sort of
right,
forgotten
you're a doctor.
How microphone
why
was.
Would you retain information? Yeah. Uh-huh. You got a dog?
A resveratrol.
It's an odd name for a dog.
Do you have a dog?
Yes.
You do?
Two dogs. Both rescued. Thank you very much. Politically appropriate. Politically
who rescued correct. Who, Bruce?
Yeah, hero.
Hey, who made you the...
Yeah. All right, quiet down.
I'm the straight man for you. No.
I suggest you get them BarkBox, baby. Monthly, 4 to 6 products. By the way, it's a monthly box. It's got 4 to 6 full-size products in there. Innovative toys, gadgets, all natural, single-ingredient treats, and more. They get their products from small, independent vendors. You won't find these goodies in stores. They got 3 monthly plans tailored to your dog's size. Bruce, what size are your dogs?
Small beagle
mm-hmm.
and medium-sized German Shepherd.
All right, so you get a small and a medium size. They got the treats, and they're delivered right to your home. BarkBox.com/Adam. They got toys. They got grooming products, all sourced from American vendors right here in the U.S. of A. And they test them on their own dogs, so... You know they're safe. Last year, they donated $150,000 to shelters. This year, they're going for $1 million to the little doggy shelters and the welfare organizations for the pups. So 10% of all the proceeds, help them out. They are BarkBox.com/Adam. All right. Let's see. Dr. Spaz.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you have
ace
some,
man.
You have some health watch you want to get into?
Sure, yeah. Am I going to get any abuse before I start?
Let's
no,
do it.
No, good stuff. Mm-hmm. So, how about my life-threatening...
He works the yard to keep his Honda full of gas. With jail in his hair, he's not too bad. He's got good lenses, but real bad frames. Some call him Bruce, but there's another name. We call him...
Yeah, Dr. Spaz.
Forgotten the singular feeling of ecstasy when I hear that song about me. It's great stuff. So I'm driving here from the Netherlands of Redlands in the Inland Empire, and I forgot there's like an international language divide when you hit towards L.A., and I'm listening to the, Offspring, Gone Away, real loud in my car.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, how do you say it? The dulcet tone strains of Ranchera music were blasting out of my car. The stations.
There is something, I think it has to do with the transmitters being in Mexico and them being able to fire them up as loud as they want. But if you live in L.A. and you just scan around radio stations, it's all Ranchera music. And for some reason, the AM station I listen to somewhere around 7 o'clock at night just drops off in terms of its signal, and it's just replaced by some of the fucking most grating, nauseating, not only music, but DJs and everything. It's like they are trying to annoy us. It really is. It's what if you were making a sitcom and a guy was hungover and he turned his radio on and he already had a splitting headache.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
I got cataplexed.
And by the way, this whole thing of like, well, look, you can't judge. It's a cultural thing. Bullshit. It sucks. It fucking blows donkey ass. It's fucking horrible. It's like saying, oh, the Germans make a great car. Well, no. What about Jamaicans? I mean, you can't judge. It's like, no, Germans make a pretty fucking good car.
Well, the contrast, I had like a mini stroke. I feel my middle cerebral artery spasm. I was cataplectic.
I'm okay. I'm starting to. I'm getting the lay of the land around here. I think Mexico is trying to claim back California, Arizona, and Texas, and this is part of their plan.
I want to keep
because I'm thinking about moving to Portland just to get away from the fucking music. Like I it's working on me. It's like a Pied Piper. I'm being driven. I'm going to be driven out of California if I hear another fucking Ranchera song.
Well,
I'm
so
going
you can
nuts.
Share my outrage.
Yes,
my
it's fucking
shock.
Horrible music.
All right. Well, there goes.
No, actually,
license just went out.
Soca music is worse.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but I don't think I want to experience it.
It's like
too late.
It's basically the Ivan Drago of music. It's like you already took an incredibly well sculpted athlete and took it into a lab. And said, how do we make it more annoying? We can do it. Well, you know, I mean, it's going to juice. They're going to be on the anabolic steroids, and they're going to use the latest, greatest technology. But it is.
He's like an evil scientist got hold of Ranchero.
Oh.
Yes. Like somebody heard Ranchero music and went, I can make this 35 to 50% more annoying. And you went, oh, that's, come on. That's impossible. It's already completely maxed out. And they went, no, we can do it. That's soca. Soca.
Well, I don't want to hear Norwegian hardanger fiddles playing out of my radio. It's not that I'm picking Mexico, but
racist.
There's so many stations. Yeah.
Now it's a piece of, the music's a piece of shit. It's fucking horrible.
Okay, so do you want to hear about, here's one of your favorite topics, taken to the next level.
Mm.
The hygiene theory, which suggests overly clean environment and you get all these autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're looking at C-sections. Mm-hmm. C-sections, you bypass, you don't go through the vaginal canal. They found that the vaginal canal, the bacteria colonizes the intestinal tract.
It's a mess.
So they're associating C-sections with more autoimmune
diseases. I hang an air freshener from mine.
Yeah, that's right. Now,
well, in some countries, it's up to 80% of deliveries.
Kids got a retina on that Christmas tree.
No, but this supports what you've said and what a lot of people think. Too much cleanliness. You have a C-section. Everything is no bacteria, clean, and then the baby gets more pathogenic bacteria colonizing the GI tract. And they found increase in type 1 diabetes, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, allergic diseases. So
well,
it makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. It's you having your free lunch with nature, which Drew doesn't say a lot of things that I remember or that impress me. But whenever he would say there was no free lunches in nature, yeah, kids are supposed to come out of the vagine. And at some point, someone said, look, why don't we just make an incision here and pop them out this way? And you go, oh, that's so much easier. It's less painful. It's faster. It's safer. It's everything else. And you go, okay. And then at a certain point, nature comes around and goes, not so fast. This is not how we planned it. And you go, yeah, I know, but we got a better way. We went around your way. They went, okay, have fun with that. When you die of hepatitis R on your ninth birthday. No, look, I've been saying this for a million years. All the fucking Purell and hand washing and shampooing, it's all fucking bullshit. I scream at my wife. She's like, wash your hands, scrub your hands. No, all the scrubbing, all the buffing, all the products, it's fucking insane. It's bullshit. I know it. I eat shit off the ground all the time. I never get sick. It's we're not meant to do it. Why am I the insane person?
Right.
I don't get it. And by the way, everyone listen to me, because every fucking thing I spout out about comes about. It just comes about. I have to wait 8 or 10 years, and then someone goes, turns out you were right about that shit you were talking about when everyone called you an asshole a decade ago. Of course I'm right. It's easy. It's nature.
Right. And the take-home point to your listeners, it does, when you have little kids, there's so much concern now, just like you said, the Purell and the keeping the environment sterile. I had one kid came in, the mother brought her, and the kid ate some, had some dog poop in his mouth. And
sweet.
Yep, I knew.
By the way, I want to meet that dog. That's one hell of a mutt.
So
I don't know if it's a sense of humor, it's just a fetish.
Well, the expectation.
Oh, he probably picked it up.
Yeah, picked it up. The expectation was
probably
that we'd call a hazmat team.
German
and get
Shepherd?
No, it wasn't German. Okay. We get the hazmat team, clean the kid's mouth. The mother was extremely disappointed. I said, you know, really, it's not.
Just rinse it out.
Yeah, rinse it out.
Dr. Bruce, you say sterile differently than I would have expected that you'd say.
Listen, my kids have a list of words that I say differently, thanks to the Ace Man and YouTube.
You know what their favorite topping is on their pizza?
Oh, my God.
Air. They like air. They like the air that's trapped underneath the lid of the box that the pizza comes in, but just above the cheese.
Some
wind. That's their air.
Some
wind. Oh, I thought you were just beginning to say resveratrol.
No.
Just air.
Let me tell you, if I say donkey, if I say feral cat, now my kids are off. Oh, they're all over me, and it's like, thanks. But listen, there was an art. Look in the New York Times, Sunday Times. There is a piece. There is a pizza with broccoli on it. So there must be some. Okay,
that's so,
Bruce for in the World Cup. Are you rooting for America?
I'm rooting for America. Yeah, United right. States of America. Okay, so listen, I'm from Long Island. What do you want me to say?
Long Island.
So I wanted to.
He's from Long Island.
Long Island. I wanted to bring up a study that was done at very own UCLA, the campus report. And this is actually from the Fielding School of Health. This is a recent report. 1 in 4 adult film performers have gonorrhea, chlamydia, or other STD.
What?
Well, no, this is in light of, in recent years, there have been articles and studies saying, well, this is an industry that's so well, so perfectly self-regulated.
They test.
And there was also information on substance abuse. More than half, 58.7% use marijuana. 1 in 5 use cocaine. 1 in 5 used ecstasy or Xanax. So,
well, of course.
Now, well, I knew you'd say, of course.
Survivors. Come on.
But what percentage of the internet is people looking at porn and stuff like that? It's just there's been a mushrooming of people watching porn. And there is a message there. There's rarely safe sex practice. Obviously, part of the excitement is it's spontaneous. You don't see condom use. And then people go, well, this is an industry where there's very low rates of STDs. And I think the message a lot of people get is there's not a high risk of contracting STDs. I have a lot of young people that come in the ER and they're so shocked
that
they got gonorrhea or
chlamydia. The message that a lot of people get is I'm beating off to a runaway. And I don't care if she's run over by a steak bed truck that's carrying a full load of AIDS the following morning.
Right.
I'm watching her have sex now, and that's all I care about.
Okay, well,
that's the message. There is no porn message.
Well, no.
These people are fucking, and I'm watching.
Right, but any media that's taken in by people, they see something happening. It's high-risk sex, you don't see
we
safe
don't,
sex.
We look at porn stars, George Brenner looked at, Steinbrenner. comedian, team owner, philanthropist, George Brenner. George Steinbrenner, like he looked at players, you know what I mean? They were there to do a job. Once Reggie Jackson threw a little attitude around, it was time to move on to the Angels. We pay them. They do a job. There's no. It's much different than Mark Cuban.
Disposable
or something.
Parts.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have more downer news. This about marijuana.
Uh-oh.
Since Colorado legalized medical marijuana in 2009, there's been an increase in the number of drivers involved in fatal motor vehicle crashes testing positive for marijuana. And again, I know you're going to say so.
Well,
intuitive.
Listen. I look. here's what happened with marijuana. They legalized it in 09. All right, here's what I want to say. The man did what the man should not do and what the man has always done. They use too much hyperbole. They talk about marijuana as a drug, you know, reefer madness and all that business. And then at a certain point, people try it and they go, oh, it's not that bad. It's not no big deal. And then they turn it into nothing. The reality is marijuana is pretty powerful these days.
Right.
It's altering because that's why you use it.
Right.
If you weren't altered, you wouldn't enjoy using it. You wouldn't use it all. There are people out there who use marijuana and it doesn't do anything for them and they don't use marijuana anymore or it makes them paranoid or makes them whatever. And then there's people that use it and makes them feel pretty good. And the science of marijuana has come a long way,
right.
A long way in just the last 15 or 20 years. I mean, the stuff is fucking good now. So you are going to be altered. Now, in my mind, altered is pretty altered. You have three beers and you're altered, and you have a bong load and you're altered, and you have a shot of NyQuil and you're altered, and you have a Quaalude and you're altered, and there's some pharmaceuticals that alter you. There's altered. What I don't want on the road is altered. I'm not that interested in what kind of altered. There's a kind of altered where you're driving yourself home from the dentist office after being sedated. There's an altered where you're sleep deprived. There's an altered where you're driving and you're just fucking angry as shit and wildly distracted. Like, there's just altered. You don't want altered on the road.
Right. Yeah.
And this is altered. And we try to do this thing where it's like, come on, pot's harmless. It doesn't. No. I'm not uptight, but let's call it what it is. It's there to alter.
Right. So I'm in the trenches. I'm just an ER physician. And what I'm seeing, though, I'm seeing a decreased concern and awareness of how strong the marijuana is. And kids going into marijuana clinics and, oh, you know, winking a nod. I've got insomnia. I've got a headache. And this stuff is very powerful. And I'm seeing more of this type of stuff, minor accidents, major accidents, and
pretty soon
edible marijuana. Ooh. You can talk about that because that's a real sort of sneaks up on you. And
yes, you're altered. look, when you're texting, you're altered. I call it distracted,
right.
But what it is you would like the person behind the wheel, if they were coming the other direction and your kids were going east and they were going west, you'd want the person at 100%. Then you factor in texting, and now they're down into the low 70s in terms of their ability to operate this vehicle. And you have factor in two beers, and they're in the low 80s, mid 70s. And you do nine beers, and now they're into the low 30s, mid 20s. You know, it's all just altered. Rip a bong load
right,
or have a brownie, you're altered.
But here's the disconnect, though, between what the professional organizations tell healthcare professionals. Prescribers and patients should be aware that the dosage administered by smoking is related to the depth and duration of inhalation and therefore difficult to standardize. It's like, what moron out there smoking pot doesn't?
The man said, pot will kill you. Everyone smoked pot and went, oh, I'm not dead. And then they took it a step further and they went, what's the big deal? And then it got to the point where, hey, this is good for you. It's medicine. And no, it's a way to get altered. It's your modality for getting altered. Some people want a glass of red wine. Other people want to take a hit off a joint. By the way, pretty soon...
Oh, glass.
Somebody want a bottle or red wine?
No, I'm saying the bottle comes in and it's made of glass.
Oh.
That's what I say, a glass.
Touché.
A glass bottle.
Right.
You just don't let me finish.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Mangria sort of sneaks up on you, though.
Oh, yeah. So, pretty soon, though, there's going to be a lawsuit because somebody's going to go on an airplane and want to smoke out. And if you smoked a cigarette, they would throw you off at whatever altitude you're at. But there's someone is going to smoke marijuana and say they got a note and this is what works for them and they have chronic something and we're going to have to let them smoke on an airplane.
Oh.
That's
you're right.
Can you
though.
Smoke those vape pens on an airplane?
No.
I don't think so.
It seems like maybe you can.
No, you're not.
Not the
FAA.
Weed, not the weed ones yet, but maybe
no,
the other ones do.
You can't use any of them.
Well,
I think it's an FAA.
You can go to the bathroom and do it. No one can tell. All right.
So,
go ahead.
I'm on a roll with the drugs because I'm just it's my one of my areas and The other thing I'm hearing, Molly's. It's still, mm-hmm. you know, the Molly's are, it says, it's supposed to be very pure ecstasy. And I'm having young adult teens telling me, oh, but this stuff is pure. I know the people that make this stuff. And this is, it's just basically like Russian roulette with a very, you know, it's like this bath salts. It's a congener mm-hmm. of who knows what. They're using chemicals from China and they're trying to make something that looks like ecstasy, but is not exactly that.
Russian roulette because you don't know what you're getting.
You don't know what you're getting. And it has a lot of neurotoxicity. And they're seeing in long-term depression,
what
anxiety.
What won't China knock off? Like, they got a lot of range because they'll do golf clubs.
Purses.
Oh. Purses and drugs. Like, they just, there's, first off, I want to go to China and go, do you fuckers invent anything? Or is it all just our shit that you make cheaper than us? Like, is there any fucking R&D going on here? Or is it all just ripping off our shit?
Just wait for the cars. That's what I'm waiting for. Chinese cars.
Whatever it is, they're just wait for us to do it. And then they go, fuck it. We'll do it ourselves.
Joe Coy in here to talk about Molly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. And then maybe lastly, with the substance abuse issue, there are so many kids. Norco, Vicodin, hydrocodone has become like the second most abused drug in high school seniors. So they get started with Norco, they go to OxyContin, and then they can't afford it, so they go to heroin. So
heroin?
Are we going to have like – why don't you just have an Urban Dictionary page for me with all my misstatements? It sounds right to me.
Well, Urban – spell it.
Urban Dictionary, those are clever –
oh, sorry. Excuse me.
You're just a butchery of the English language.
I don't
dare you. I'm in the Urban Dictionary.
You're slaughtering the messenger. The message is pure. Good stuff.
I wish we knew what it was.
Uncut message. Yes, I've heard. There's just a crazy epidemic of kids who turn to heroin.
The Myrosol. And if anybody out there is interested, I have a funding source for doing a nonprofit around opiate awareness.
Let me say this. I have a theory about needing to up the ante constantly. It's sort of semi-based on the X Games. Jimmy and I, we like hosted the X Games, and we were grand marshals of the X Games or something like that of San Francisco, like circa 1998 or 1999 or something. And it was people just, you know, riding a skateboard down a hill, doing nothing, going up a small half pipe, doing a kick turn and coming back down the other side. Now you see the big air vert ramps and the big air this and the crazy BMX stuff and motorcycle stuff. And it's intense. It's insane. It's relentless. We have to keep upping the ante. And it used to be that a guy was, you know, sitting around watch Bonanza on a 13-inch black and white TV set, and that was fine. Now it's like we need the video game and we need the 3D thing and the control stick that vibrates and gives you feedback and stuff like that. Don't you think that the average 15-year-old is almost a junkie, even if they're not a junkie at this point, just a junkie for things flying at them and information? Every movie's in 3D. It looks absolutely incredible. The rides, you know, the amusement parks where, hey, it was an old wooden roller coaster. You go up, you go down. They had the zipper, the fun house or the house of mirrors. Now it's these crazy stuff on a bunch of hydraulic actuators and stuff flying at them and everything.
I honestly think even just using email, I remember, because email, I began to use it in college, and I remember feeling my body would feel different when I would get an email, and mm-hmm. I began to feel like I'm becoming conditioned to be excited when I get an email.
Yeah, I got sorry, I was reading Gary's poignant information he sent to me. Talk to Ice Cube's people, he'll be here at 6 on the dot at the very earliest, maybe later, depending on traffic. Okay,
fair enough. That was stupid.
All right, thank you. Look, it takes a big man to admit when I call him stupid and then agree.
So you're right. There's an expectation of a lot of stimulation in kids today, and you wonder how they – but that's where parenting comes in, and you limit their exposure. The kid that's playing 8 hours of video games or 12 hours a day ends up
– so it was enough to play video games when Ball O'Brien was a lad. Mm-hmm. Now you have to do things high. Like, I hear people with this all the time, like, oh, you got to take mushrooms and then go to Disneyland. And it's like, no, going to Disneyland is – you do that.
That's the thing.
That's the thing you're doing. And they're like, oh, no, you got to get super high, then go see this 3D Transformers mm-hmm. movie. And it's like, that's a little bit of a slippery slope because that's just going to keep going.
Right.
That's just more, bigger, faster. I mean, that's sort of the look at guys' sexuality. You know, you take a guy and he's like, all right, he's no big whoops in high school or something. He's trying to get a hand job. At some point, if that guy becomes a rock star, it's not, hey, there's one attractive woman and, you know, we have consensual sex. It's let's get five groupies onto this tour bus and let's all go at it in this crazy orgy. You see what I mean? The bar just keeps getting raised. Whatever it is for Mick Jagger on the road circa 1977, it would not be for Mick Jagger when Mick Jagger was 16 and living in Hounslow, England and going to school. He has to keep raising his own bar. That's the nature of us.
Right.
And we'll basically keep going until somebody stops us.
Well, right. Is porn turning young boys into rock stars?
I think so.
Right. No, I think that's a good point. And not to demonize porn, but the exposure at younger ages. I mean, we were talking about it on one of those shows. 12 years old is the average first viewing of porn or younger.
Really?
So, yeah. So the expectations sexually and what I see kids experimenting with drugs. And it's sort of like, well, it's sort of like this is a cultural thing. This is what we do. This is what people do.
So let me turn to a happy note here. Bridgeview Bank Mortgage Company. These guys, I just dealt with these guys, Tony and Paul. We did the refinance on my house, and these guys are pros. 10 years experience, closed over 5,000 residential mortgage loans. They helped me. I pointed at myself when I said that. That's how sincere I am about these guys. They can help you.
They pound national. Your heart. They help
they
me.
They helped me. I like when guys do the talk shows and they have the lavalier mic on there. Like, this person, Oprah, was so influential. It's like someone's got to tell them, did that whack that? No matter how strong they feel about grandmama, do not do that. Yes, they're national. So rates and costs are more competitive than your local mortgage orator. I said orator. I'm an originator. Rates still historically low. So let's get going. Refinance and purchase loans, conventional FHA loans, jumbo and non-conforming loans, all kinds of loans, primary residence, second homes, investment properties, cash out, refinance, whatever you need, home improvements. Most importantly, they did mine. They just did a fantastic job. Bridgeview Bank Mortgage Company. Dawson.
All loans subject to credit approval. Rates and fees subject to change. Not all loans or products are available in all states. Call 888-524-3452 for details about credit costs and terms. Bridgeview Bank Mortgage. NMLS number 335048. Equal housing lender.
All right. So, Bruce, do you feel like we're getting kind of pleasure centers, getting burnt out, a little overstimulated, like have to keep raising the bar, and now the bar... I mean, look, it used to be, hey, someone's dad's got a new Playboy. Look out, you know, and now it's like anal poppers and sex with the avatar.
No, well, if you look at the rates of oral sex in junior high is just accepted as it's a standard behavior. Now, when you were in junior high, I think that was not the case.
No.
And you have to attribute that to the... the availability of porn and the expectation that this is normal behavior. I mean, that's definitely – and some therapists feel like this is sexual abuse viewing a lot of that stuff at a very young age.
I would say it's definitely going to have an effect.
Right.
And it's definitely not going to be a good effect. And it's probably – I don't know what it does. Like, I'll give you for instance, just girl-on-girl action didn't exist when I was in junior high. Now it's probably halfway the norm, right?
You get a 10- or 12-year-old seeing that. I mean, it's just like when you were doing Loveline and the girl calls and you go, where's daddy? Or what abuse did you have occur when you were younger? I mean, this isn't at the same level as being violated by an individual, but regular viewing of porn at a young age it's a trauma. It's a traumatic experience, and it can have long-term effects.
I always think of it this way. It's not only that, but you realize these sort of icons that were out there. I don't know, your Kardashian, Kim Kardashian or Pam Anderson or something like that. Imagine when I was growing up, you had, you got Charlie's Angels. Oh, look look at her. Look at her, Cheryl Ladd. She's so hot. You know, all these people you'd see on TV and be like, oh, look at that from The Love Boat or whatever TV show, Dukes of Hazzard, you know. But if someone could have went, hey, just go on the computer and you can watch her suck some cock, I would have been, my mind would have been blown. And I mean, the fact that they're kids that like grew up watching Baywatch, who then get to go watch that or just go retroactively watch the Kardashians and then go back and watch Kim do a porn. It's going to be mind-numbing. I mean, it's insane. I mean, if we would have seen Cheryl Ladd topless on the beach and it was a grainy black and white picture, that would have held us over for two winters.
Or the Farrah Fawcett poster with a top down. It's like, remember that? Just so, right. So, and then if kids don't have supervision and, you know, they're going to watch more and more and they're going to pursue the...
No, I wanted supervision so I could see through her bra.
That's a waste of my time.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of, like, how many... I mean, you know, even if you just did the sort of Mr. Skin action, if you have a popular actress who you just go, wow, man, that chick is really beautiful, you can just go online and find a picture of her naked. Like, I feel like they exist... exists with almost everybody. And could you imagine that as a kid?
I was just thinking about what you were alluding to earlier with Pam Anderson. I'm 35 years old, and I just now am thinking how incredibly difficult it would be to explain to someone who's 10 or 15 years younger to me than me, oh, no, when Pam Anderson had a sex tape, it was a huge deal. Like, now it's like, oh, this person's on the internet having sex. Oh, that's kind of interesting. When Pam Anderson was, she was a huge star, and she was in a sex tape. She was having sex with another celebrity. Yep. You'd go to the store and get it. That was a huge deal.
I know.
What grade do you give it?
That's an A+,
that was an
right?
A+++.
All right. What else? You got one more?
You know, let's see. Robotics. I was looking at trauma. I was just looking at some trauma statistics. And now with robots, they're becoming more free-ranging. There's been a spike in... factory worker deaths due to
killer robots.
So
this is where it starts.
Well, the robots were in cages. They were just sort of, they were just like a metal arm that would do like weld a car. Now you got free ranging robots.
They're tired of being in cages.
Right, right. So you have more accidents occurring in the workplace. So this is some of the trauma that's occurring.
So the robots, meaning let's say the car factory, they will have these sort of wheeled ones that carry the parts down the thing and then stop, and then everything's programmed to do everything, but it's not, there was one just arm that just came down and squeezed things together and did a spot weld. Now they're mobile.
Yeah, well,
they're
talking
moving
about
around.
They're collaborating with humans and free roaming in factories. And so,
you know, every single one of those artificial intelligence things, I used to laugh at when I was a kid, but now you start mixing this in with drones. And really what you're trying to say is you're trying to give the robot intelligence because you want it. If you got to stand, like, you know, you really just break it down to its core, a lever of sorts is a crude robot, meaning I'm going to put 10 pounds of downforce over here, but I'm going to get 100 pounds of upforce on the other end of it. So it's a sort of a, I'm going to move not so much, and then it's going to do the heavy lifting. And then you sort of get into like the forklift part where I'm going to operate this thing, but I can lift 5 tons with this. And then you advance to the part where I don't need to operate it. I'll program it, it'll operate itself, and when the cars come down the assembly line, I won't have to go over there and tell it to weld every spot weld. It'll weld itself. But at a certain point, what we'd like is to not tell it what to do. It's to kind of know what to do, whether it's removing a cancerous tumor or welding a Toyota pickup truck. Wouldn't it be nice if that robot went in and was able to find the cancer and remove it without us spotting it and directing it toward the cancer? But this is where it begins.
That's interesting.
What, this is what Bruce is saying.
The mistakes occur. It's still human error turning the robot. Right.
Well.
And then with robotic surgery, again, you want to have a physician that's done lots and lots of
it. As the great William Shakespeare once said, to err is human. Forgive, divine.
So I'm more human.
Say that.
I'm very human. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right.
When you sell my little drops, then we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Like to sell your droppings. Stamps.com, baby. Oh, man. Back in the day, just like we're talking about, black and white TVs, phones with wires on them, businesses. You had to get the, you want to avoid the post office, you had to get the postage meter. You don't need that anymore. You got Stamps.com. Technology is moving ahead. Stamps.com. You can get official U.S. postage, and you print it out on your own computer, and that's it. Ah, this is the future. Forget about the robots. No hardware to buy, no long-term commitments. Save 80% compared to postage meters. Right there. Special offer. Enter the promo code Adam for no-risk trial offer. $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale, $55 free postage. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That is stamps.com, promo code Adam. All right, we got some news. Ice Cube's coming around. We got a couple questions. I'll go fast. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
55.
Wondering, with your documentary coming to a close or pretty soon with the Paul Newman, do you have another one chambered that you're going to be working on?
Yeah, I think probably Willie T. Ribbs, who was one of the guys who's featured in the Paul Newman doc, who's just an incredibly interesting guy, and he's a guy that Newman helped and is the first black driver. Ooh, maybe I'll pitch it to Ice Cube for the theatrical version. There's definitely a story, you know. Grew up on a farm in, like, Fresno. Had to go to England and do open-wheel driving. Essentially got blackballed out of NASCAR when he was, you know, mid-80s because it's a bunch of good old boys. And then ended up racing with Newman and on the Trans Am circuit and was the first black man to race at the Indianapolis 500.
Sounds great.
Yeah, had Bill Cosby as a sponsor.
Oh. Interesting. I look forward to it.
Yeah, interesting character, interesting story, and still going strong. We talk to him all the time. So that should be the next one.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And then there's Matt, 24. Matt?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Good. First, I got to say, Brian, I heard your interview with Chris Hardwick, and it was really cool seeing that side of you, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Nerdist interview up now. Thank you very much for listening to that.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. So I have a question for Adam. I was wondering, what's the most embarrassing moment of your life?
I've had a lot of embarrassing moments, but one that comes to mind is I was at my friend John's house. He had this cute blonde sister, and I guess she was kind of a tease. And I was in, I think, the 10th grade, and my friend John was sitting inside, like, the den, which for some reason had these, like, French doors with these curtains on it. And he was sitting in there and watching TV. And I was sitting by the fireplace in, like, a rocking chair, just sort of looking at the fire. And this guy John's sister, Phyllis, who was really cute, you couldn't tell by her name, she just came in and, like, sat on my lap while we, like, sat in front of the rocking chair. On the rocking chair in front of the fire, and I was like, wow, I was like 15 and a half, you know. I was like, oh, that's so awesome. She was a year older than me, so it's like an older
chick named Phyllis.
Yeah, temptress named Phyllis. And she sat on my lap, and at a certain point, I don't know what she did. She said, like, I'm going to get a soda or something, and she got up and she walked into the kitchen, and I sort of got up and was, like, adjusting myself. I don't know. I don't think I had a boner, but, I was certainly, like, pulling the underwear out of my ass and trying to get my fix my hair and stuff like that. And they lived in an old house, so I was sort of standing there in front of the rocking chair kind of fixing myself, and I heard her footsteps coming back, you know, down the hall, round from the kitchen. I just heard the hardwood floor kind of squeaking in it. And I did, like, a comical jump back into the seat and pretend like I was relaxing in the seat, you know. I didn't want to be out of the seat when she came around because then we couldn't get back into this position. So I did a kind of a comical Fred Flintstone, like, you know, oh, shit, here she comes. And I dove back in the seat, but then immediately went casual, like I'd just been staring at the fire and thinking about nothing. She sat back down on my lap, and then my buddy John just burst out of the den saying, "Oh, man, I was watching him the whole time. He stood up. He played with his junk. He heard you coming. He dove back in the seat when he heard you coming. And then he played it all casual." And I was like, "Oh, my God." Like, he screamed it. He was laughing maniacally. He was her older brother, so it was easy for him to fuck with me.
Did you deny it?
You know when someone is saying something like, just spot on exactly what just happened. And there's really, what do you even say at that point? Like, oh, come on, man.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. Like, you really got nothing at that point.
And at 15, it's devastating. That's
yeah. You get the closest you get to denials. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's as close as you could possibly get to it.
What is it about us at 15 that lacks the ability to say, ah, you got me. Yeah, good one. Like, there's no, ah, you got me. That's a good one, guys.
You're still sort of a herd animal and being by yourself and humiliated.
Yeah. Like, that happened now or nowadays or even in your, I don't know, 30s or whatever. You'd be like, yeah, you got me. Yeah, good one. Busted.
Yeah.
You don't really have a sense of humor about yourself at that age.
Not really.
Mm.
And you never forgave John for that.
I did, but I was so fucking busted that it was just, when you're that busted, there's just nothing. Plus, you're 15 and a half. You don't have the lawyer brain at 15 and a half. You're just fucking a mess.
Was that a deal breaker for Phyllis?
I think me being born was the deal breaker.
Poor Phyllis.
She didn't mean anything. I think she was fucking with me or having fun with me or doing whatever 16-year-old girls do with 15-year-old boys. There was nothing. There's nothing ever there.
You think she recovered?
She regrets it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. She would be married to a very powerful man in this city.
Picked up the pieces and moved on.
That's
Phyllis
right.
Corolla.
All right. Ice Cube is here, and that means Dr. Bruce must skedaddle.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with Ice Cube next.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I talk to you about life with father, Father's Day, and somebody winning the Stanley Cup. Join us and listen for free through iTunes or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com.
Hey, this is Bernie Brenner, co-founder of TrueCar.com, and I'm inviting you to download my new podcast, Extreme Biz Dev. Each week, we're going to look at the new deals that just happened. We're going to talk to great CEOs and heads of biz dev that I respect. Then we're going to talk about things that just piss me off. And of course, no Extreme Biz Dev podcast could finish without giving you the tip of the week. So download and listen to Extreme Biz Dev with Bernie Brenner, which is available every week on PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Help Adam Carolla save podcasting for all of us. Donate anything you can at fundanything.com/patent troll.
Back in studio with Ice Cube, 22 Jump Street is the name of the movie. I've not seen it yet. I've heard it's absolutely amazing, and some say the best sequel, comedy sequel ever, maybe just best sequel. I don't know what it's at in Rotten Tomatoes, 90% with the viewers.
Upper 80s, I think.
80-something percent with the... It's absolutely insane, and Brian reviewed it, I think, on Monday and said your scene was one of the funniest scenes, or one of your scenes was one of the funniest scenes.
The scene in the restaurant was really, really funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stuff.
Captain Dixon goes all the way off.
And how much of that is you and how much is scripted?
Nothing was scripted.
Really?
It just said Captain Dixon tears up the buffet. That's all it read. So
it's kind of what happened.
You really do the whole thing just ad libbing and just going for it. You know, you get one shot at it. I'm pretty sure they'd have gave me more, but then it would have made our day longer. And I'd have been like, you know, I'm hitting this in one take. So we just kind of walked around the scene and figured out, you know, where am I going to be and when? And then I just went for it. One take.
When did acting start up with you? Is it Boys in the Hood? Was there something before that I can't think of?
No, it was Boys in the Hood. That was it. And, you know, John Singleton, who directed Boys in the Hood, he was an intern over at the Arsenio Hall show. And I was going over there to give Arsenio a piece of my mind because... he didn't have NWA on, and he had fucking Luke, Two Live Crew, you know, Me So Horny on. I'm like, man, come on, dude. So I'm going over there really to get into his ass, you know what I mean?
And did you know Arsenio at all?
No.
Very hard to get into his ass. He's a petite guy. It's easier to get into his gums. He's got more gum than
oh,
ass.
Oh shit! But not on that level. But I was trying to catch him in the hallway.
I see.
Trying to catch him.
Well, I mean,
the hallway.
Really, what was the plan? Like, were you going to threaten him? Were you going to yell at him? Were you going to talk some sense into him? Like,
I was going to talk some sense into him in a threatening kind of manner.
Right.
You know, but then John Singleton walks up and he's talking. I got this movie you perfect for, Boys in the Hood, but I'm a junior at USC and hopefully I'll be able to get it done. So I was like, all right, man, you know, kind of like watch out. You know, I'm not even an actor, so I don't think I'm qualified. You're not even a director yet. You still in college and watch out, you know. But he just was on me the whole night and I end up talking to him and we became cool, and 2 years later, I ended up doing the movie.
And you start off, I think I got it written down here somewhere. You went to Taft High School.
Yeah.
Which is basically Taft is sort of, I don't know, what's that off of?
It's off of
Melrose and
man.
Fairfax. What Taft is that?
Taft is off Ventura.
Oh, and, that Taft.
And Winnetka.
Yeah. It's like weird, sort of deepish, side-ish, valley-ish.
Woodland Hills.
Yeah, Woodland Hills. So where do you grow up? How do you end up at Taft?
South Central LA.
How do you get bused to Taft?
Yeah, we got bused. Yeah.
Do they still bus? By the way, do you know?
I don't think so. I think they stopped busing a few years ago.
I went to North Hollywood High, and it's like half the football team was just bused in from Compton and South Central and all that. The faster guys, actually, to be honest. The bigger, slower guys, they were from there.
They were from there?
Yeah, that's the way they do it. The skill position guys were the guys who were busting.
Yeah, I mean, so if you guys wanted to win, you had to bust somebody.
You had to compete.
I think that's why we was at Taft.
So you guys started, like, what would your schedule be like? I lived across the street from North Hollywood High, and I was still miserable at how early I had to get up in the morning, even though I got up 9 minutes before my first period, and I just walk over there.
Yeah.
But if you're being bussed in, what was the schedule?
You had to be at the bus stop by 6:45 or you'd miss the bus.
Ugh. And then it's a long bus ride. Like, for people who don't know the sort of lay of the land, South Central versus Taft. Taft is sort of deepish, overish valley. Like, it's out there. It's at
25
least
miles or something like
it's
that.
It's a good hour, at least, on the bus.
Yeah, good hour. It was cool going to school, you know, because you could sleep.
Right.
Do your homework, you know what I mean? But it sucked coming home because it was just traffic.
And I know you're good at basketball. Did you play at Taft? Did you play sports at Taft?
I played football. I didn't play basketball at Taft.
What years were you there?
I was there from 85 to 87.
And were you glad to be bussed? Did you want to be bussed?
I didn't want to be bussed, you know. I wanted to go to the school right in the neighborhood, but I had been getting bused since I was in junior high. So, you know, now I'm glad I was bused because I was able to really see the contrast between the neighborhood that I come from and Woodland Hills.
Right, where Taft is.
Yeah.
Now, where were you going in junior high? Where were you being bused?
It was Woodland Hills. It was Hughes Junior
or something?
Hughes Junior High. So they closed Hughes down.
So as far as being bussed, it was a good thing then for you? I mean, to be exposed to a different environment.
Yeah, it was definitely a good thing for me, definitely.
And so now you're done with high school. Now what?
Yeah. Well, you know, we were starting to dibble and dabble with NWA, you know, around the time I was graduating. And we ended up dropping our first single, which was called Dope Man. And I end up going to school in Phoenix for a year, to a trade school called the Phoenix Institute of Technology. It was a
what were like you studying?
Architectural drafting.
Really?
Yeah.
And is this something you wanted to do, or something somebody thought it'd be a good idea for you to do, or whose idea was this?
It was my idea, Adam.
No.
Damn, man.
I'm just saying it seems random. It seems like you'd have some stepdad or something who'd say, you're going to be a draftsman. That's worked well for me.
What it was, I loved art in school. And, you know, when it was time to go to high school, you know, it was like, yo, what's your electives you want to be? Boom, boom, boom. I said, let me get a draft and a try. And I liked it. And it was something I was good at. And, you know, I was like, yo, this can be a career for me.
And you went there for a year.
I went there for a year because, you know, I wanted to fall back on something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I wasn't sure that the NWA thing was going to work because it was hardcore. At the time, you know, what they call gangster rap now was just, you know, X-rated, dirty, blue rap. I thought it was going to be like where the Richard Pryor records and the Red Fox records were kept in the back of the record store. So I never thought NWA was going to blow like it did.
And when did you meet Dr. Dre?
I met Dr. Dre in about 83.
So you're still in high school?
I'm junior high. I'm just now, like, or I'm just ninth coming grade. Yeah, I'm ninth grade.
And he's from the neighborhood?
No, he's from Compton, but his cousin lives down the street. He got kicked out of his mama's house, so he had to come live with his cousin, which was his auntie. And, you know, he's down the street. We into hip-hop. He's into hip-hop, of course. He's actually, you know, a pretty known local DJ with mm-hmm. the World Class Wrecking Crew. And, you know, we just hit it off. He liked my flow, liked my flavor. I helped him write a few records, and then Eazy-E came into the picture. And he wanted to do the gangster rap. He wanted it hardcore. So we started to talk about what was going on in the neighborhood and, you know, kind of snowballed.
Did you come back from Phoenix going, I got to get back to NWA, or were you just done with Phoenix, meaning you'd graduated and it was time to return?
I was done. I was so tired of Phoenix. No offense. You know, I love Phoenix, but at the time I was ready to get back because the group was starting to blow up. You know, we were starting to get a name for ourselves, and I was doing homework while they was doing shows. And I was right. Like, man, this, you know, homework is cool. But shows are better.
I don't know. I've never done homework. Speaking of Phoenix, by the way, we're going to be at Stand Up Live this Friday and Saturday. Four shows doing the live podcast. The early shows are about sold out, but the later shows, still a few tickets available for that. 22 Jump Street in theaters everywhere, probably with A Million Ways to Die in the West sort of flaming out. I would probably say the biggest comedy of the summers.
Well, certainly the funniest movie in theaters right now.
Yeah, and I don't know what else is coming up or coming out. I don't see anything on Rotten Tomatoes, especially that's going to do any better than the mid-80s. And it's a franchise I never would have thought of. I mean, did you watch it growing up? Did you ever think, oh, this is going to be a farcical comedy one day?
Not at all. You know, when Jonah Hill told me he wanted me to be in a movie, and I'm like, okay, we're going to do something real cool, you know, something new, funny. And he's like, we're going to do 21 Jump Street. And I'm like, that TV show that used to come on, you know, back in the day? I don't know, man. You know what I mean? Let me see the script. And the script was funny. You know, it was like, you know, a parody of the movie. Just the fact that we were doing it was made fun of. And so I just thought that was a cool way to include the audience in the comedy, and it just worked.
Now, is Jonah from Compton, or is he from somewhere else? Because I don't think
he's from Compton. Okay. I'm not sure. But you could check. He might be from Long Beach or Watts. You know what I'm saying? He might be from Watts.
He's not Canadian, is he? Where the hell is he from?
Don't know.
We're going to figure out.
Jonah Hill's from L.A.?
All right.
Yeah,
man. All right. And how does that work? I don't know what he does on the film. Is he a producer on the film?
He's credited, co-credited for the story. Like, he came up with the story.
He's a producer, too.
Unbelievable.
Because he's always telling Phil and Chris what to do.
Now there's got to be a third. I mean, there's got to be a 23. I mean, there's no way anyone's going to turn their back and walk away from this incredible franchise, right?
I don't know. You know, you never know.
That means yes.
Well, I mean, only thing that would hold up the movie is my salary, my fee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that could hold up production.
What are you working on right now?
I'm about to do Ride Along 2, which mm-hmm. I did with Kevin Hart.
Right, that was a huge
big
success.
Hit this year, yeah. Yeah. And we're going to do the NWA movie.
Oh, really?
The story of the world's most dangerous group. That's where I'm coming from, a photo shoot with some of the cast members and Dr. Dre. And we was just
so saying, you guys don't play yourselves or you
no,
play someone
oh, no,
else?
No, we don't play anybody. We just produce the movie.
Yeah, well, every once in a while, like the Doors movie, they throw in one of the Doors to be the engineer on one of the recording, whatever, but that's
weird
and distracting.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Now,
I don't need a cameo.
Is that going to be just regular theatrical release?
Yes. Release, you know, we're doing a press release tomorrow, but I'm here today. We're going to release it. Damn, I can't say, man.
Well, this will air tomorrow.
So you
can't
say.
Yeah.
Well, we'll release August 14th, mm-hmm. 2015.
I just tweeted it.
Hold on. Dear TMZ.
son of a bitch. Got me.
All right.
Ice Cube directed a really good 30 for 30, right?
Yeah.
The Raiders.
Straight out of L.A.
Are you going to do no more directing? Because that was really good.
Yeah. It takes me away from acting and, you know, and being in a lot of stuff when I direct. You know, it kind of just takes me away, so I only do it every now and then.
Yeah, that was a great 30 for 30. There's been, well, every one of them has been good except for the one on fantasy baseball.
Oh, like the rotisserie baseball one?
No.
That's interesting.
No.
Just the history of it all? How it started? Yeah. Some dudes?
Oh, no, two guys. I don't know. I didn't enjoy that one. But other than that, I think I enjoyed just about every one of them. And the one that Ice Cube directed about the Raiders leaving Los Angeles and being huge Los Angeles. And also being from Los Angeles, it was weird reliving all that riots and all that period and how everything was going off at the time. And just standing in, I believe you did a lot of it from the Coliseum.
Yeah. We shot a lot in the Coliseum.
They used a lot of animation, too, which is really well done, which not a lot of the 30 for 30s used.
Yeah, we wanted to be real creative, you know. And you could tell so many stories with pictures, and then at a certain point it starts to look like everybody else documentary. So we wanted to throw something in there that give us some unique flavor.
Well, so how do you begin that kind of documentary, and what's the process?
You know, ESPN approached me and asked me, was it a sports story that was dear to my heart that I wanted to you know, shoot and direct a documentary on, you know? So I thought about it and you know, I wanted to really, you know, just kind of highlight the intersection between the L.A. Raiders and NWA and also them leaving L.A. And, you know, why are we in Raider hats all the time? And, you know, what was the deal? And so I wanted to be able to kind of put that in a summary, because I thought that was a story that would never be told, how, you know, music and sports, you know, this is a true intersection of it. And, you know, now you go to the sports, you know, to an arena and you hear music all the time. So,
right.
You know, it was just a great way to highlight this period. And I knew nobody else would ever tell this story. So
it was a really good episode. I'm glad you brought that up, Brian, because it's one of my favorite series, 30 for 30. And yeah, now I'm thinking back in the old days, they had an organist.
Yeah.
And the organist would just be playing like,
da,
you know,
da, 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 da.
Yeah, that's a, that was upbeat for them. A lot of time it was just Lady of Spain or something, like just sort of, like it was Lawrence Welk shit.
Yeah.
And somebody decided, why don't you play something people want to hear, people are familiar with, and get people whipped
put
up.
A DJ up there, man. Let's
well, wait, you got 70,000 people. All right. Let me give a little love to one of our sponsors, Nature Box. You want to snack? Smart. I took Smarter and Snack, combine them into one word, Snarker.
Snark. It's making you smarter and faster.
That's right. It's more efficient, I tell you. Don't eat from the vending machine. That crap's coming out of there. It's all full of oils and trans fats and high fructose corn syrup. You don't need any of that. You need Nature Box. Nothing artificial. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S. And everything they send us here is good. And I can tell you how good it is. It's gone. immediately. Try NatureBox right now. Get 50% off your first box. Go to naturebox.com/Adam. Stay full. Stay strong, my friends. Go to naturebox.com/Adam. All right. Ice, should I just call you Ice?
You can call me Cube.
I'll call you Cube. Cube, we'll hang in. We'll do a little news. You can crack wise.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Can I ask Cube? I'm just a little still curious about the NWA movie.
Yes.
Can you talk just a little more about that? Like, whose idea was it to do this? And
well, you know, it's been a like career dream of mine ever since I started producing movies that, you know, one day we'd be able to have a comprehensive story of the world's most dangerous group, which is NWA. And so, you know, we've been working on it for years. And
do you guys all get along to
yeah,
work on it?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's came together, it's fell apart, it's come together, it's fell apart. And, you know, I think now we've gotten it, we've got a comprehensive story of what happened. And now we're about to go shoot it. So I'm pretty excited.
Who plays you?
My son. My son plays me, which is cool.
How old is your son?
22.
So about, you were a little bit younger when you started, but good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, he worked hard at it. You know, he studied in New York. He studied in L.A. And, you know, he's just been going for about 9 months. He's been aiming to, you know, do the audition and you know, he had to get the okay from the big wigs over at Universal, and he passed the test.
And is it something, I mean, was that something he always wanted? I mean, not playing you, but as far as acting, is that something he wanted to get into for a while?
Yeah, he'd been, you know, bugging me forever to, you know, do something, you know, to get into it. And, you know, I've been like, okay, you know, but when you put your family member in it, you know, you really want it to be right. You want them to be the right person for the job. You just don't want to just throw them in anything because it's going to get so much criticism if you do. So, you know, he just wasn't right for the stuff that, you know, he wanted to go for until this part came up. And now he's perfect for it. Actually, he was born to play this part. So,
does he look like you?
Exactly.
Oh, then perfect. Yeah. All right, that's so cool. Look, that'll be 2015.
Yes.
Do you guys own the rights to your own music?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Dr. Dre needs
the money. Well, so. I mean, with NWA, Easy owned the rights to it, so his estate has it, which is his wife, Tamika Wright, and she's a producer on the movie, too, so it's all good.
All right, let's do the news with Allison Rosen.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison, Allison.
All right. So despite what Dr. Bruce said earlier about the dangers of marijuana, here's a sort of a counter story. A study came out that found that smoking marijuana does not negatively affect lung capacity.
Mm.
Long-term study analyzed the lung function of cigarette smokers, marijuana smokers, and non-smokers over a 20-year period beginning in 1985, and surprisingly found that casual pot smokers perform better on certain tests than non-smokers. So while tobacco smokers showed the expected drop in lung function over time, the new research found that marijuana smoke had an unexpected and apparently positive effect.
Well, smoking pot is like calisthenics for your lungs.
Well, that is exactly where they go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like doing 10 chin-ups. Like
that's what they realize is that it's kind of like doing lung exercises.
Well, you're kind of like the people that do the depth diving, the insane people that go down 500 feet and hold their breath for 6 minutes. The way they practice is the way stoners rip bong loads.
Yeah, smoke a blunt and you can go down for 6 minutes.
Hold on. Before we go too far, Ice Cube, have you smoked marijuana before? Do you know what we're talking about?
Of course. They did the study on me, man. 20 years, baby. I put in the work. You know what I mean? My lung capacity. I can outrun you. You smoke cigarettes?
Nope,
okay.
Not.
I can outrun you
I'm
anyway.
Sure you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say it's like a pulmonary function test, but heavy pot smokers, so that's people who smoke more than 20 times a month, did not see the pulmonary benefits.
Oh, damn. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm on that second.
It's interesting. And now everybody's going to – I smoked over the weekend out of one of those, like, things that now they have pots that look like pens that have a little electric starter in it. It's got a no.
Nah, man.
What if someone hands it to you? Are you supposed to offend them?
Yeah. Give me a real blunt.
I don't want them to think I'm uptight. All right.
Isn't that one of the vapor pens that you were talking about earlier?
It's like got a little electronic starter and it's filled with pot juice.
How was
it? Pot nectar.
Pot nectar.
I'll tell you how good it was. I don't remember.
Yeah.
There.
A skunk pee.
Yeah.
Be careful.
They have these ones now where you get like 300 smokes out of it and then you toss it. All right. Come a long way.
I feel like I'm too old for all this.
All right. Give me one, man. Let me see.
Tracy Morgan has been upgraded to fair condition.
That's right, Tracy.
Well, that's the thing. I said I was just out of town with Kimmel, and he said Tracy's doing better now or something like that. And I said, I thought I heard a news story that said he was out of trouble and he was doing pretty good. And he said that was a false story.
Oh, really?
He said, and I guess he's got an inside line, that when Tracy was in bad shape and they sort of touch and go, they put a story out there that said, oh, he's doing well, he's on the mend, he's coming back, and he was in really bad shape at the time. It was like a false news story. And he was in horrible shape. He said even there was a video going around of him when he was in a hospital for something else at another time that was making its rounds on the internet.
Who's working for him? Ray Donovan?
People are fucking horrible. Now, everyone just wants to make a nickel. It doesn't matter what happened to anybody. So he's what now? Coming back?
Fair. Yes. Fair. Well, fair condition, which is better than what it was before. His spokesperson said his personality is starting to come back.
Good.
So they're saying he's better.
Oh, he must be trying to get one of the nurses pregnant.
He had broken ribs and a broken leg. And the guy who was driving the truck has pleaded not guilty to death by auto and assault by auto charges. Artie Fuqua, who is another of the comedians who was injured, though, is still in critical condition.
Jesus Christ.
Man.
But again, the guy, the truck was for Walmart or something insane? So everyone who survives is going to be set for life, right? I mean, we're just going to be talking about a multi-million dollar lawsuit.
I think so.
All right.
I think so.
We
and
wish
possibly
him well.
a lawsuit that'll change legislature in terms of how frequently truck drivers have to take breaks. Because, he was up for 24 hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
And Walmart, don't be trying to give no settlement at discount prices. Now, we need the full enchilada on this settlement.
Oh, I'll bet he's going to get it. All right, so we wish him well.
Here's a story that I think you'll like or will drive you nuts, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how much money Americans waste annually running dryers. Turns out that your dryer is one of the most energy-sucking appliances in your house. Typical electric models use as much energy as an energy-efficient refrigerator, washing machine, and dishwasher combined, and Americans could save $4
billion. Come on now.
Of the nut. No, Adam hates waste. It's his thing. He hates it.
I mean,
what are we going to look like? Good times with our clothes hanging down the line every damn where?
Mm.
Man, come on. We don't want that.
No.
Run the dryer.
No. Listen, I grew up. Here's what losers the Corollas were. Three adult families, meaning after my parents got divorced, my dad lived in one house in North Hollywood, my mom lived in another house in North Hollywood, and my grandparents lived in a third house in North Hollywood. Average age of the adults that lived in those houses, when you factor in my grandparents, my mom, my dad, probably mid-50s. Out of the three households, zero dryers, one washing machine, and zero dryers. In a modern era.
Where did everyone else wash their clothes?
My grandparents went down to the coin-op laundry.
Go there now and get stabbed, but keep going.
my dad, I don't know what he did. I don't know that he actually washed anything, but maybe he went to the coin-op laundry,
dad
too.
Dad didn't wash nothing,
and
trust me.
My mom
back in the day
had the washing machine, which was in my bedroom, along with the water heater and the electric meter. The washing machine was there, no dryer, and we had one of those fold-out racks that folded out above the heating grate that was on the floor. You know, the old-timey, big, old heat grate? Mm-hmm. And you'd fold it open, you'd drape all the socks over it, and you just set it there. That was winter time, and then during the summertime, it was clotheslined. But it takes more work to do that than it does to whatever the expense is. But yes, electric, anything that produces heat and runs off electricity is a huge draw. That's why I can't stand the curling irons and the hair dryers and all that bullshit. And they don't have enough fucking light on them. Like, but my wife's curling iron doesn't have a red light.
I mean, I got to take that over ugly. You know what I'm saying? You got to have the curling irons and the blow dryers. If not, you got a bunch of ugly
Finally, some
people
sense
walking around.
In here.
I know, but man, it's such a huge... I can't tell you how many times I walk up to my wife's curling iron and she's somewhere else and I put my finger on it and it's hot. It doesn't even have a red light that says it's on. It's weird. It
how produces, is that legal?
I don't know. It produces heat.
Is
it could
it
burn
old?
Something down. Yeah, it's a curling iron from 1841. No, I don't know. It's
well, I'm just
2 years old.
Okay.
They're all shit. All right.
Many of them do
cook hot
lights.
Dogs with it, too. I mean, you make it use to have a double, double purpose.
I think for every 10 minutes you need to dry something, we dry it 23 minutes. I think there's shit tumbling around in there that's been dry for 2 days that's still tumbling around in there.
Americans could save $4 billion of the $9 billion spent each year to run inefficient dryers if they switched from electric dryers to hybrid heat pump models that are popular in Europe.
They could move into my mom's house, save billions, just putting shit on that rack above the heater.
And U.S. efficiency requirements for dryers have been updated only 3 times since the 70s, while refrigerators have been updated 7 times.
It's the manufacturer's fault.
Yeah.
Make something better. All we do is plug it in and turn it on. Make it burn less energy.
Yeah, well, the Europeans, always smarter than us. You know, I think the Europeans...
Sometimes they make it good but bad. You know what I mean? They make it look good, but it don't function, Adam.
I think the Europeans have a... The first thing, everybody's just got to go... What you have to do is you have to go to Japan because they have no space and everything's expensive. And any place where you have no space and everything's expensive, everything's going to be super compact and super efficient. You come to us, we got nothing but energy and nothing but space, and everything's cheap. So we have the world's most inefficient dryers. That's what it is. All right, what else? You got to get on this. This is a very sexy campaign. It's just the one kind of thing NWA could get on.
So the Institute of Cancer Research has released a statement saying that sunscreen cannot be relied upon alone to prevent malignant melanoma.
Uh-huh.
Researchers looked at the molecular impact of UV light on the skin of mice at risk. So, you know, we've been talking about how it sucks for rats because they do all of our bidding and we hate them. Mm-hmm. It's not good for mice either.
Let me say this. Cube.
Yes.
Have you ever applied sunscreen?
Yes, of course. Not you will get burnt.
Will it's you get burnt?
Yes. Just because I'm black, that don't mean I don't get burnt.
It helps.
Man, you got to put it on or you're going to get burnt.
Okay.
I've been burnt.
You have.
I know. It sucks. Feel like somebody beat you up.
But would you use it every day or would you use it like when you're on vacation?
When you're going to be out in the sun. You know, I use, shade. You know what I mean? Shade works better than sunscreen to me. But if you got to be in the sun, I guess you got to use it.
I don't know. Call me naive.
Yeah,
but still. No, I didn't know. I've never seen. By the way, they don't use black folks in sunscreen commercials.
That's crazy.
You should be angry
black
about
people,
that.
I don't care how dark you are. You need sunscreen. It's the sun on your skin.
Okay. I listen.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. I know, you know, if you're Conan O'Brien, you have to be dipped in the stuff before you go out to the mailbox. But yeah. I'm trying to think. You ever see, I've seen plenty of sunscreen commercials. I don't see black folks in sunscreen commercials.
I don't watch those channels.
That have sunscreen commercials?
Yeah. What did you think I was talking about?
Okay. I don't know.
Racist?
All right. Racist ass sunscreen commercials.
Well, look. Do they ever, on BET, do they ever have sunscreen commercials?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm not saying he exclusively watches BET, but he's probably arguably seen more of it than we have.
I mean, you know, it's one of the channels I watch, but, you know, there's 500 channels out there.
Right.
Yeah.
So on any of them, have you seen
have you
black
ever seen black folk on sunscreen commercials?
No, but I'm not looking for black people on sunscreen commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they use white people to do everything on TV.
No, I know where we get all the cush gigs.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm saying they should spread it out then. Put it on the black folks.
Ooh, man. New Gerber, baby. Mm-hmm. I mean, new Coppertone, baby.
Coppertone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They need to.
Mm-hmm. So sunscreen.
Doesn't provide complete protection. It does help, but you can still get skin cancer even if you're in the sun with sunscreen.
Well, what are we supposed to? What are we supposed to do? And by the way,
not go in the sun.
I know it was so weird.
Shade.
I do feel like when I see, like, if you ever drive through the valley and you see the Mexican ladies walking around, they have umbrellas. They're smarter than we are in that department. I don't see the white chicks with the umbrellas. The Mexican chicks have the umbrellas.
The white chicks need it more.
I know, but they won't go with the umbrella. We go with the rain umbrella, but we don't go with the sun umbrella. Same umbrella, but it's not deployed in the sunny days.
I think they used to in the 1800s, right?
I feel like there's something going on with that, too, in whatever you are. What do you feel? Yeah, Filipino.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like other cultures, by the way, other than black and white, have an idea of the sun and the... Maybe it's because we're driving. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I feel like if you go through the valley and you go through in the middle of August and you drive around at noon, you see Mexican chicks walking around holding the umbrella. You don't see white chicks with umbrellas. They'll wear like big hats or they'll wear something, but they won't do the umbrella thing. The umbrella thing's kind of smart. Like how many white chicks? I've seen a million white chicks walking their dog, but I've never seen one with an umbrella. But I've seen a million Mexican chicks walking down to the store, and they have the umbrella.
Are they also walking a dog? Because you're going to run out of hands.
No, I don't see them walking the dog. They could be walking the white chick's dog and using the umbrella. That I've seen. But not their dog. I can tell when it's their dog. It's a certain posture. But I'm saying, think about that. We should all use umbrellas when we go for walks.
I've seen the Mexican lady with the umbrella, but they were walking the white kids to the store.
Oh, yeah, the nanny.
But they didn't have the white kids under the umbrella.
No. Something was going on. Let them get cancer. Fuck them.
Something was going on here.
Yeah, it is interesting. And it's a cultural thing.
They got to figure it out, man.
Well, they got that part figured out.
I mean, they
out.
Used to rock them in the 1800s. All those pictures you see, the chicks with the umbrellas.
Well, what happened was we all, I think back then with the parasols.
I think that's
yes
what they are.
All right. There was a time when being lily white was a good thing. Then there was a time when being tan was a good thing. Then somewhere about that time or a little bit after being tan was a good thing, we found out that the sun was going to kill you. So now we had this weird
spray
decision
tan.
To make. Yeah, we want to be tan, but we don't want to be dead. So then we have this invented orange spray to spray on ourselves. And uh-oh, now I got another semi-offensive question. Do black people spray tan?
Maybe. I don't know.
Nah, that's a no. You haven't seen anybody do it.
I haven't seen anybody do it. But okay. That don't mean they don't do it.
When you're watching BET, you see...
when you're exclusively watching BET, when you're studying BET, do you ever see commercials for spray tan places?
No. But I know, you know, black people follow white people lead, whether it makes sense or not sometimes.
I thought we were following your lead.
You do.
Or at least ripping you off. But
oh, yeah, yeah. You know... We invent it, you reprint it. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
That's the saying.
Yeah, in a weird way, we're like the Chinese and you guys are the golf clubs. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
This is the scene from the movie where it's like, I thought you had the map. I thought you knew the way.
That's right. Well, there's good news. There's a new sponsor because you can't work it from the outside in. HelioCare. It's a little pill that you take that actually works like a sunscreen. It actually helps prevent this, which is a smart way to go because you don't want to get the cancer. You don't have to walk around that big umbrella over your head. And as we just figured out, the sunscreen alone ain't working. It ain't working by itself. Daily use is a dietary supplement. You take it. It's like a multivitamin. It's an antioxidant. It helps your skin protect itself year round. thousands of dermatologists want the samples of the HelioCare for their patients, and why wouldn't they? It's perfect timing. It's as if I told Allison to do that story, but there was no interaction here. You can buy a 2-month supply of HelioCare at Walgreens and Rite Aid, and you just go to the vitamin aisle. Just look for the yellow and black box. Check them out. HelioCare.com. All right, let's do one more story, shall we?
Facebook has changed its controversial stance on breastfeeding photos, and it will now allow people to post breastfeeding photos.
Uh-huh.
According to the Facebook help page, here's a quote, "Does Facebook allow photos of mothers breastfeeding? Yes. We agree that breastfeeding is natural and beautiful, and we're glad to know that it's important for mothers to share their experiences with others on Facebook." So
why,
now you can see breasts if there's a baby attached to them.
Can I say something? Everything with kids isn't beautiful.
I know.
Diapers aren't beautiful. Them spitting up on your shoulder's not beautiful.
There's afterbirth is not beautiful.
Everything's a fucking mess until they're like in high school. And then the hair and the zits start kicking in. I'm just saying, like, everything with a kid doesn't have to be beautiful and precious. I'm all right. Breastfeed all you want, but let's not turn it into poetry. It's sucking on a titty. And, you know, if you're at a mall, it's good.
And what you got against sucking on titties?
I don't as an
adult.
You're
jealous of all the babies out there. That's the problem. Jealous. We get adults and we get jealous.
Have you ever tasted breast milk?
No.
I don't think I was. I feel like I was not breastfed. I don't want to ask.
Your mom doesn't really seem like the breastfeeding type.
Thank you.
Please follow up on that question.
I don't
Ray would
know. Oh, I don't want anyone
asking.
See
if there's a picture on Facebook.
Breastfed. I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things where it's natural. It's a function. It's important. But when I got to take a leak, I go find an ivy wall and turn my back to everybody and take a leak. You know, that's a little decorum. And I know everyone's getting nauseated, me sort of making a correlation between me taking a leak and breastfeeding. But if you really think about it, you know, there's something in me. It needs to come out.
In the sink oftentimes?
Well, ever since I moved, and the sink's too high in the bathroom vanity. But the point is this. It's a natural body function that we all engage in, but yet you would never do it in a way where other people got to see you do it. You would kind of shield it a little bit, just a decorum thing. And you certainly wouldn't take pictures of it. Now, I know it's going to get me a ton of shit. I'm not saying it's the same thing, but what I'm saying is, like, there's certain little parts of life which you kind of go, oh, I'm going to kind of be over here doing this. Like, I don't need to take pictures of it and put it up on the internet. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but are you saying that you don't want to see breastfeeding photos?
No, that's fine with me. I'll see as many as you can provide or until I come. But either way, whichever comes first, pardon the pun. But I'm saying, we've turned this whole thing into a battle.
We politicized it.
We did the same thing. You know, I'll tell you the male version of this. The male version of this is circumcision. There's a whole group that's for it. There's a whole group that's against it. There's a whole group that's trying to restore the foreskin. There's a group that wants to sue their parents for being turned into monsters because their foreskin was removed. They've been scarred for life. The reality is, it's no big deal. Just sort of relax with everything. You know what I mean? Like, other countries must laugh their ass off that we make such a huge deal over what's basically a one or a two. The reality is this. If you're going to breastfeed and you're going to do it in public, that's fine. But there may be people at the restaurant that may not be into it, let's say. Maybe they're religious. Maybe their kids are with them and they don't feel like an explanation, whatever it is. So you should just kind of position yourself a little bit. And you shouldn't have to go out in the parking lot and do it. But a little, you know, that little move where you kind of put your shoulder a little bit that way and open your shirt in such a way where everyone isn't looking over your booth and seeing what's going on. Fine. And then that's it. We don't have to make a big, yeah, right, politicize everything. And that's what it is. And I know we do it because we're out of problems in this country. We make huge deals over titties and foreskins. Love that Frank Zappa song. All right. So good. It's on Facebook now?
Yeah, you can post the photos on Facebook now.
Man. All right. Anytime you want to whip out a titty, it's cool with Q. Don't worry about nothing, man. Whip it out.
All right. Let's bring it home. Bang.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Dip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Ah, LegalZoom, baby. America, built by innovators, dreamers like Thomas Edison and Henry Ford, and innovators, man. Entrepreneurs are all around us. I mean, look at Cube over here. Guy's got his beak wet in 1,000 different ponds.
It never stops pouring in.
Writing, directing, starring, music, never ends. LegalZoom, they celebrate innovation by helping you launch your dream. You can apply for a patent, secure your innovation, register your trademark, protect your products and services, incorporate, form an LLC, launch your business. Just visit LegalZoom.com. You'll get personal attention. They'll help you take care of all the details. They've helped over a million businesses get started right. They got an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. LegalZoom, Dawson.
Celebrate innovation with LegalZoom today and get a special price on trademark, copyright, and provisional patent applications by using the referral code Adam at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm.
All right, 22 Jump Street. Definitely the best comedy in theaters as we speak, and I'm guessing of the summer and of the year. That's just me. Ice Cube. You can go to his website, icecube.com. You can Twitter him or tweet him at IceCube. And look forward to the NWA movie coming out. And anything else that's coming out, come back and give it a plug.
Cool, man. Appreciate it. Have fun.
Good. I'm glad you had a good time. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce and Ice Cube and Allison Rosen and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Drops.
For calling times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Get the new book, President Me, audiobook, also available. Use the Amazon link at AdamCarolla.com. Four live podcasts coming up at Phoenix's Stand Up Live this weekend. And a second show added to Long Beach's Gas Lamp on July 19th. Get your tickets and info on all the live podcasts, stand up, Mangria events, and more at AdamCarolla.com.
Yeah, Nature Box. Now that the show's over, remember to go to naturebox.com, order great-tasting, healthy snacks at 50% off. Forget the vending machines, all the fats, sugars, colors. Screw that. Delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels, all there. Nature Box. Support the podcast. Get 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com/Adam. That's naturebox.com/Adam.
This is Corolla Digital.